Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark. 42 years of preaching Palm Sundays. I try to stay fresh and try to look at it with new eyes. That's been my prayer all week long. I preach a lot of textual messages, so I'm just going to preach the text this morning, and things are going to fall together, and just trust that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us this morning. And really, He will turn the light on. That's what that word actually means. And that is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we look at the Gospel of Mark and chapter 11. And let's pray, and let's ask God just to kind of turn it on. We'd understand for the rest of our lives what is found in Mark and chapter 11. The truth is, there is a king coming. Amen. There is a king coming in this world. This world, the Jewish nation, what we're going to read about here in Mark chapter 11, the king came. It was a little forerunner, a little of heaven pulling back the veil just a little bit to kind of unveil what is going to happen yet in the future. And Israel missed it. The king came just prior to that Last Supper and the Passover. The king came and a triumphal entry, and Israel missed it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Not only did Israel miss it, the world missed it. The King of Kings came to this earth. He visited this earth in the form of man. And just before Calvary, this is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the last week of the ministry of Christ when he's here on this earth. And it's going to culminate, of course, with the crucifixion. And then after that, the resurrection. I believe that the angels of heaven, I just got to believe the fact that Israel was missing it. There's their king. He's being presented to the nation Israel. He's being presented to the world. And the angels must have been some form of enragement within their being as they realize their king is being rejected. And it was like they couldn't, how is that possible? And the world is rejecting him as well. We read here in Mark in chapter 7, or 11 rather, of what we call Palm Sunday. And I'm going to get to it. And not only that, while this was going on, behind the scenes, man with his insidious plans was planning on murdering the Son of God, nailing him to a cross, and being done with him once and for all. They didn't understand God. Let's take our Bibles and go to Mark in chapter 11. Stand with me, please, and let me read just a little bit concerning what we call Palm Sunday. And when they come nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, a couple of villages on the outskirts of Jerusalem, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we know that as a world, we have rejected Christ. And the results are all around us in every civilization of fallen man upon this earth. Lord, the nation Israel rejected you the first time around. And God, some understood, some received you and recognized you as the Messiah, hence Palm Sunday. But God, the nation as a whole did not understand who Jesus was and is. And Lord, we live in a world today that does not understand. And God, we need to do the best we can at exalting you. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit this morning would take Scripture and burn it into our hearts, in fact, and graft it into our beings. And Lord, may we never get away from it. And may we just be reminded this morning that the King is coming. that he came and was rejected, but he is coming again. And Lord God, I pray that you just make it clear in all of our minds. And God, if there's one person here not born again, we pray for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 2,000 years ago, there was a little foretaste of heaven. A little foretaste, just a smattering, just a little. I mean, God knew they were going to reject him. He knew that. But Jesus, there he was, presenting himself. It's the Easter season. That means pastel colors and little girls in their dresses on Easter morning, which is next week. And little boys wearing clean white dress shirts and pale blue dress shirts, shirts that they never wear any other time during the year, and little clip-on ties and hats on the and bonnets on the ladies. It's a great time of year, and we've got some American traditions there, and we're going to celebrate the resurrection. By the way, just in case you're wondering, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every single Lord's Day is Resurrection Sunday. As a New Testament church, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, just as they did in the New Testament. But then there's Palm Sunday, just before it is the final week. Then there's going to be the crucifixion, and then there's going to be the resurrection. We refer to Palm Sunday, and what we refer to here in Matthew, or rather Mark and chapter 11, is the triumphal entry. I long for the reality of the day where the coronation of the king is going to take place. Amen. And we will be there. We sang about Heaven's Jubilee this morning in the choir. For some, I'm sure you just, it's a melody, it's a melody. And maybe you weren't listening to the words. There is going to be a reunion. There is going to be a grand day at the throne of God, at the foot of the throne of God. And we are going to lift our voices. And palm branches, they used palm branches and their own garments because that was what was at hand. That's all they had. The best way they knew how, they were making things ready for the coming king. Well, he rode into Jerusalem, and he rode on a colt, a little baby donkey that had never been ridden before. He came in humility, but you understand this, the next time he comes, it's King of Kings. We won't take time to read it. Revelation in chapter 19. His vesture will be dipped in blood. On his thigh and on his vesture will be written the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man, he is coming. I can see him astride on the back of that white horse, and that horse rearing up. And the king is coming. And he comes down with the host of heaven, and all the armies of this world are going to be destroyed. And the beast and the Antichrist, they'll be thrown into the pit for 1,000 years. That'll be a day. Let's pick up reading in verse 1 again. I'll read quickly and kind of get to where I'm going to read through and try to cover the majority of chapter 11. A lot of reading, I understand that. And I got to say one more thing theologically. And I know I said this last year because I have some of my notes from last year. We are not going to usher in the kingdom as the church of Jesus Christ. The next event on the eschatological calendar is the rapture of the church, where we are rescued. I don't know. Look around. Listen to the news. Things aren't getting better. Those that believe we're going to usher in the kingdom believe that the church is somehow going to make this world righteous. It ain't happening. It is not happening, hence the rapture, and then the 7 years of tribulation where God gets a hold of Israel. There's a lot of powerful preaching in that, but then the kingdom is going to come when the king says the kingdom is going to come. And he'll ascend down from heaven, and he'll set up the kingdom age, and it won't be your righteousness that ushers it in. We're going to be there because of the righteousness of Christ. Purely. Verse 1, he says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, Bethany, on the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two disciples, and he saith unto them, go your way into the village. He said, you're going to find there a colt tied, a colt that no man has ever sat on. You loose him. They're going to ask you, man, what are you doing taking that colt? And what are you doing taking that animal? The king has need of him. And they'll say, oh, okay, let him go. Verse 4 says, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, a fork in the streets, a corner, if you will. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why do ye loosen the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, their outer coats, and he sat upon him. And he spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the noun form is an expression of adoration and worship and praise and joy. In the verb form, it is a cry. The cry is, save us. Jehovah, save us. So in the noun form, it's adoration and worship. In the verb form, and both were going on at that time. And I think that, I'm sure that some of them that were crying it out, they didn't understand what they were saying, but there were those there that did. So here comes Jesus. He's coming down the Kidron Valley. He's coming down the ascent from the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley and going to go back up into Jerusalem. They put their outer garments on the back of that colt, and Jesus gets up on the colt in humility, and he rides down through the Kidron Valley. And as he's riding, people along, great crowds are forming. It's like they know something's going on. And they've heard Jesus teach, and they've heard him preach, and they're saying, this is it. The king is coming. He's coming to deliver us from the empire of Rome. He's coming to lift the tyrant's boot off of our neck. No, boy, they're in trouble now. There he is. He's the king. And they're cutting down just what's around them. They're cutting down palm branches, and they're making a carpet. The best way they know how, they're making a carpet, and they're spreading it in front of Jesus as he's riding through, and the crowds are thronging, and the crowds are growing and getting louder, and they're crying out, Hosanna! Hosanna, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And it's like, but it's like the city as a whole, they're not getting it. And the leadership, they're going to reject Jesus as the king. And the world, just standing by and watching. And in my sanctified imagination, I see the host of heaven just enraged that the humanity of this world does not understand that is the king. That's the creator. That's our master. And the majority, just another day. But some, they're putting down, they're just doing the best they can. Let's read on here. Verse 8 again. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. By the way, many places in the world today, Jesus just isn't welcomed there. It's no different today. In fact, this might shock you, but in many churches, Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Savior, the Son of God, the truth of the gospel, he's not welcomed there. They got their thing going on. But those around, they cut down the branches and strawed them in the way. And verse 9 says, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It is a victor's welcome. And the crowd begins to grow, and the cheers and the singing is going on. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hey, I might not say this, but I'll say it right now just in case. I don't want to forget it. He's king. He's the very God. You understand, we've gathered together on the first day of the week like we've been commanded as a New Testament church, and the church house is full, and we're here and we lifted our voices. I remind you this morning, the Savior that we worship, he is the very ultimate God. He's king. He's the only deity. We've come to set aside all the cares of the world. Set aside all the plans of man, all the futility of mankind, and understand we stand before the king this morning. And the best way we know how, man, we just lay our garments down. Lay the palm branches down. Let the world know who Jesus is. Verse 10 again, blessed be the kingdom of our Father that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. If only today the world would recognize. And I'll tell you again, I told you this last week, we aren't doing a good enough job. We aren't. We aren't. We rub shoulders with people during the week, and they don't even know our Jesus. And we've never told them about our Jesus. Man, we're not laying down the palm branches. We're not taking our garments off and laying them before him. We're not crying out, Hosanna, and adoring him. Jesus entered into Jerusalem into the temple, and when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. There was the triumphal entry. The crowd did what they could. They rejoiced loudly. Oh, let's go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. I just saw this morning. 96th Psalm. We ought to be like the crowd that was lining the streets. It says, David said, oh, sing unto the Lord. Verse 1, Psalm 96. Sing a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. Verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Verse 10. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. And then verse 13, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. After all is said and done, here I am with my puny little life here on this earth. 65 years so far. I don't know how much time God is going to give me. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of God. All the glory goes to him, a sinner saved by grace. And God gave me this puny little life to lift high the name of Jesus in this world. Listen, not to make money. Not to get ahead of my neighbor. Not to live to have a good time. I am here to exalt and sing unto the Lord. That is my responsibility. That is my duty as a child of God. We're going to read, if we get that far this morning, that after the spiritual leaders, the religious leaders condemned Jesus because he didn't put the people down, because they were proclaiming him deity and they were proclaiming him the Son of God, and he ought to shut them up because that's not true. You know, Jesus answered them and said, if they didn't speak, the rocks would cry out. The earth would cry out. Unbeknownst to most of mankind, Jesus is King. He's Creator God. He's the source of all that is good. He's the Redeemer that came to this earth and made propitiation for your sin and for my sin so that we could one day go to heaven. We could leave this miserable earth. Now, you know, I still see the hand of God all around me. I mean, creation's beautiful. This morning it was beautiful. You know, out there just soaking up the sunshine and breathing that clean air that only the Upper Peninsula of Michigan knows. Man, it's there, you know, and just enjoying life. And this is sin-tainted. Can you imagine what heaven's like? You know how big our God is? Psalm 8, we won't turn there this morning. Oh God, my God, oh Lord, my Lord, who am I? Who am I that you would come and visit this earth for? Man, that's a powerful song. Let's go back to the triumphal entry. Direct fulfillment of Zechariah in chapter 9 and verse 9. He entered into Jerusalem, verse 11. He goes into the temple. It's on the Lord's day. This is a Sunday right here. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. So now this is 12 miles back to Bethany and seeing a fig tree. And I think this might be, this isn't quite Monday. Monday's down there in verse 15. He was hungry and seeing a fig tree afar off, verse 13, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. It had all the outward appearance of bearing fruit, but like a lot of sterile Christians and a lot of sterile churches where the gospel is not preached, even though it looks like it should be bearing fruit, it's not. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it, and it became, Ichabod was written. And later on, we aren't going to get that far, but he's going to see that fig tree was withered. Verse 15 says, and they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and he began to cast out them. This is on Monday. Cast out them that sold sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers, the crooks that were there, and the seats of them that sold doves, and they were making a big living off of the temple, and it was wrong. This is the second time he cleansed the temple. Verse 16 says, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Can you imagine hearing Jesus preached? Can you imagine hearing him preach when he's preaching forcefully like we just got through reading about? Everybody just stood there. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed, it's withered away. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Now he talks about that faith in God, moving mountains. And Jesus isn't saying, ask God to just throw mountains around. What Jesus is saying is, there are mountains in our lives all the time. Trust God. Just trust him. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. And if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, that he may forgive you your trespasses. Simple faith is the key. Verse 26, let me read, and I'm going to draw this to a close. I want to make some application. I want to look at one other passage of Scripture, and I pray God will make it live. Verse 27. They came again to Jerusalem. As he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And they say unto him, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe in him? And if we shall say of men, they feared the people. Typical politicians, just going with the people. By the way, it's the political season. The professional politician is concerned, just like these religious leaders, about two things. First one, getting elected. The second, getting reelected. That's the professional politician. But the man of God, the woman of God, they'd be concerned with one thing, the truth, bringing glory to God. These weren't interested in it. And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by the authority I do these things. Okay, listen, don't ride the fence. We just got through reading the text, one of the texts, concerning what we call the triumphal entry. Here it is, Palm Sunday. This is the last week. It represents the last week of Christ's earthly ministry, which ends with resurrection and resurrection power. This is a week of great hope. This is a message of great hope. Here's the point. One day, the king is coming. One day in heaven, the time is coming when heaven and earth will bust in praise and glory to God. Man, I cannot wait. Now, we're coming towards Easter next Sunday morning. Let me talk to you as your pastor, not teaching, but go to Isaiah 55. We read this last week. Isaiah chapter 55. We have a challenge that has gone out. And truthfully, I wish we had more time. We're not done. It's just the beginning. Because this thing is growing by leaps and bounds. You want to be encouraged? You type in the website, all lowercase, philamerica.org. Right now, there are 39 states signed up for this little track challenge, which I remind you began in the bleachers at a basketball game with two pinheaded preachers challenging one another to a little contest. And because the other guy wasn't satisfied with the results of the basketball game, I was truly satisfied. But, you know, so we challenge one another. Oh, yeah, well, we're more spiritual than you. We can pass out more tracts. Oh, yeah, I don't think you can. And from that, before February rolled around, it was Phil, Michigan. Now it has gone nationwide, 39 states, one province, I say so far, and Puerto Rico. And this thing is just growing. And I'm just telling you, the only reason it isn't even always bigger than what it is right now, the only reason is pastors are poor with social media. And every preacher that I call and tell them about it, oh, sounds like a good idea. They haven't even heard about it yet. So this is just the beginning. This is a movement. This can go somewhere. And we're going to do it the week of the 4th of July. We're going to just pick weeks and have big bursts and just go. And this thing's going to pick up. And more people are going to get involved. And we're going to see, Lord willing, thousands come to Christ. In the back, in the foyer, I have in packs of 20... I took the time, I did this all by myself yesterday, the packs of 20. Well, after I started it, while I'm doing it, I'm complaining the whole time. I'm thinking, why didn't I get some people to help with this, you know, and put these elastic bands around this, but got through it. So there's 2,500 invitations to our Easter service with a gospel verse on it as well, and our website address and all of that, and live streaming and all of that. All that information is on there, and I'm going to challenge you to take a pack or two. Listen, truth. Anybody can hand out 20. You could do that in no time at all. All you got to do is give just a little bit of effort. And the other thing is, the date is on it, so those 2,500 tracks, they're only good for 1 week. This is it, all right? I want to challenge you. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, God's word never returns empty. It never returns void. Even a gospel tract that you give to somebody and they don't read it right away, later on they might pick it up when they're in need. The Holy Spirit will draw them to it. They'll pick it up and there's a scripture. It never returns void. Look what it says, Isaiah chapter 55. I preached last week about the snow and so forth. Let me read verses 10 and 11. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. The harvest doesn't take place right away, but many times you plant the seed of the word of God and the Holy Spirit will germinate that seed. And we'll work it and bring it into fruition. And that person will never get away from the word of God. It never returns void. That's what he says in the next verse. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So I want to challenge you this morning. On the way out of church, come to the altar and pray. Come and get whatever need needs to be met this morning. If you're here and you're not born again, come to Christ. But on the way out of church this morning, you grab one of those packets. Or you grab multiple packets. And they're little cards is what they are. And they're very attractive. And this is the easiest tract you'll ever hand out. Hey, here's an invite to come to church next Easter Sunday morning. That easy. Everybody will take it. I don't know of anybody that'll turn that down. If they do, it's on them. I'm telling you, the majority of people are, oh, thank you very much. And just put it on your fridge, man. Take the time to read it. Put it on your fridge. Check out our church live stream. But come on out to church next Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, Easter services. We can all do that. Man, we can all be involved. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. That's what's on there. Man, you come to Jesus, you'll never die.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.